Accession number 22080, Reel 2.
Mr. Coombs, Reel 2. Right, Mr. Coombs, Buster, you've mentioned that your wife was down in lodgings. About
yes.
How often were you able to get out of the barracks,
I can't really remember, but I should think pretty well every day.
Now, how did you and your fellow recruits occupy your time? I mean, obviously you were. After the training sessions were over, what were you able to do?
Well, it was mostly evenings, and of course I went to my wife, and others went into the town.
And what kind of place was Gloucester at this time? Was it full of soldiers? Was it full of...
Quite a lot, yes, because there was a big RAF place there as well.
How did you get on with the RAF?
Well, we didn't. We didn't have any connection with them at all.
What about... you mentioned that that you felt sloppy in the RAF, in the army battle dress.
Yes.
Did the RAF look more impressive, do you think, in their uniforms?
Well, probably. It's denims that didn't fit particularly, wasn't it? The battle dress itself wasn't so bad, but the denims one, which one wore all day.
Right. Could you take us through a typical day while you're at Gloucester, in terms of, you know, what time you would start?
Hardly, really. Not really. It's all rather a blur. I remember the training. I mean, different training.
Are there any incidents that stand out then?
But I couldn't say what I did when I got up and had a wash and went to the cookhouse. I mean, it would just be an assumption.
Are there any incidents during the training that stand out? Any things that happened that stick in your mind? Things that people might have got wrong or...
No, not during the training.
How do you cope with the route marches?
Oh, very well. I've always been very good at walking. Not so good now, because I've got a funny knee, but... I was a great walker. 20 miles wasn't anything very exceptional.
Now, you mentioned you were in a light infantry regiment.
Yes.
And the quicker pace.
Yes.
Could you cope with that?
Yes.
What about your fellow recruits?
Mostly, except those that couldn't do anything much.
Now, other veterans have talked about army boots being sometimes a problem.
Yes.
And people having different kinds of feet, you know, feet
yes.
that could march and feet that couldn't.
Well, I've worked on the land a lot and used to big boots, large boots.
So you were used to it already?
Yes.
Did you used to sing marching songs when you were on
the Yes.
Run? Can you remember any of them?
Oh, she'll be coming around the mountain, won't she?
Now, you were a married man.
Yes.
You'd been in civilian employment for quite a while before the war. How did you cope with the army wages? I mean, can you remember what you were paid and how that compared with civilian employment?
Well, my wife could tell you more about that than me, really. But, because we were buying the house, but the... is it the Army, Navy and Air Force institution? I don't know, really. Anyway, In the end, she just paid the interest on the mortgage, which helped her a lot. But I don't know the details of that.
But basically what you're saying is that there was a drop in income from
yes.
civilian employment,
yes.
and that meant problems with mortgage payments and
yes.
so on.
Yes.
Yeah.
But she did get a concession, but I can't tell you what it is.
Now... So you were at Gloucester, and then where did you move from there to?
Gloucester, we went to Frinton.
And what happened there?
That's where we had the assault training and beach training.
Could you just describe what that was? What they were trying to teach you to do?
Well, assault courses was on the golf course, and they had kind of canals dug full of water, of course, and ropes across, and you had to heave your way across. If you didn't, you fell in the water. Some did.
How did you cope with it?
Oh, quite well. Because I was fairly strong. Although I've never been very big, I've always been fairly strong. And I coped all right with that.
Now,
and route marches as well. And also, we had a session of going to Colchester, combined operations with tanks. That was partly at night.
Could you just describe that and what that entailed?
Well, I can only remember that it was, I only remember an area, a large field with tanks, and the infantry also taking part, and the tanks getting uncomfortably near at times.
Now, at this stage, when you moved to Frinton, had you been posted to an operational battalion by this time?
No.
So?
No. As far as I know, it was just reinforcements.
So you were still...
light infantry, really.
But you'd gone through your basic training period. You were a trained soldier by this time.
Yes, it was December that we embarked.
Yeah, well, that's moments forward. Yeah. Now, just on this business of training and with the tanks and the assault courses and so on, were you introduced to any new weapons at this time? Mm. I mean, you talked about the Bren gun and the rifle. What about the Thompson, the submachine gun? Did you have a chance to train on that?
No. There was the Sten gun, but nothing else.
What do you think of that?
I didn't have it.
I
didn't handle the Sten gun.
You mentioned it was other people had them at this time.
Yes.
Now, Frinton was on the coast. Were you troubled by air raids at this point?
No, we weren't.
Now, in your pay book, you've mentioned it's listed that you had gas training.
Yes.
Do you remember anything about that?
Not really, no. No, I don't.
What do you think of the quality of your instructors and your instruction? I mean, did you feel like a trained soldier?
Well, yes, I took it as it came, really.
And had you given any thoughts to... I mean, you've mentioned a little bit earlier an idea of possibly trying to become an officer.
Yeah.
Had you given any ideas to promotion at this stage?
No, I hadn't, no.
So you were happy to be a private soldier?
Yes.
Can you remember anything else about Frinton? Any other details?
Only the Wesleyan Church used to entertain the troops very well. And no, I don't remember anything else about Frinton except long route marches.
So what kind of distances were you marching at the
20
end?
20 miles.
And that was routine?
Yes.
Were you still with the same bunch of men that you were with when you were called up?
Yes, well, about 8 of them, yes, of the Somersets.
And what happened to the others, do you think?
I don't know. No idea.
Right, now, so you were at Frinton. And what happened then?
Well, from there I had embarkation leave and went over to Africa. We didn't know where we were going.
Did you know you were going to the Sherwood Foresters?
No, I don't think so. I'm not sure when we thought we were going to the Sherwood Foresters.
As you were saying off the tape that you didn't join the Foresters and you actually got to the troop ship. Is that correct?
No. I don't know at what stage we joined the foresters.
Mm-hmm. So you had your embarkation leave. What did you do? What did you do? Anything spring to mind? How long was it? How long did you have?
It was about 4 weeks, 3 weeks, was it? This got soaking wet at Sejanane, which hasn't improved it.
How did it get wet?
Why?
How did it get wet?
Because it rained.
And that's your pay book?
Yes.
Did you you had to have that with you at all times?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So where would you put it in your battle dress?
In the pocket up here.
The breast pocket?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Was there a punishment if you didn't have the pay book with you?
I didn't hear of one. Didn't hear of it.
Had you grown attached to the Somerset Light Infantry by this stage? I mean,
no, not really. No, I wasn't an enthusiastic soldier, as a matter of fact.
Why was that?
Because I liked other things better.
Were you able to maintain your interest in horticulture at all when you're in the army? At this stage, before you went abroad, was there any?
Well, only not in any practical way. You'd see in that article that as we were moving up to the front, I remark on the oak trees, it's an oak wood that we went through a wood of oaks, cork oaks, which is where the cork comes from, and also the undergrowth, which was a tree heath, a tree heather, which is Erica arborea, and that's from which briar pipes are made. They're not made from briars, they're made from tree heath. But I've remarked on that in there.
That's
even
a manuscript that you're going to donate.
Even though we were going to the front.
Now, what did your fellow recruits, what did your fellow soldiers think? Were you pointing this out to them as you were moving forward?
No, I don't think so. I don't think anyone would have been interested.
So that was really an interest that you had to keep to yourself?
Yes.
There was no general interest?
No, no.
What were your fellow soldiers interested in then? What were they, you know?
Oh, I don't know, really. Can't remember now.
So there weren't any green-fingered friends?
No. No, well, there were, but not. I mean, at the end of the war, as you probably know, there was opportunities to be gardeners in the war graves and that sort of thing.
Now, so you hadn't really developed an attachment to the Somerset Light Infantry?
No.
Now,
no.
During your training with them,
yes.
Had they made any efforts to actually tell you about the history of the regiment?
No.
Give you any sense of,
no,
to
no.
try to give you any sense of
no,
loyalty?
No.
So there's nothing like that?
No.
So you had your embarkation leave. Did you have any idea about where you would be going to?
No, none at all. There again, I've mentioned that in there. It all sorts of rumours, every part of the world. But in the end, we finished up at Algiers.
Now you're on embarkation leave. You knew you were going abroad.
Yes.
Did you feel like a trained soldier at this stage?
I suppose I did, yes.
And you joined the Sherwood Foresters. You've said you're not quite sure when you joined the Sherwood Foresters.
No, I can't remember that.
So do you remember anything about your actual embarkation at Liverpool? You know, how that went? And who you were
yes, well, we were being trained at Walton-on-Naze in the evening, and when it was dark, and we just went on a very long train journey without changing, and finished up at Liverpool.
And at this stage, about how many men that were Somerset Light Infantrymen, how many of them went with you to the Foresters?
Well, I knew about eight. Whether there were any more, I don't know, but I knew eight, because they were in the medical section with me afterwards.
At this stage, you weren't in the medical section?
No.
And this train, was that a battalion full of men?
Yes, yes. Yes, it was dark all the time, it seemed. And then we arrived at Liverpool and boarded the Gloucester, I think it is. Isn't it?
And what were conditions like on the trip ship?
Very good. They were
you just looked at your manuscript at this point, which you've written some years ago.
Yes, I don't know quite where it is now. Anyway, it's oh yes. Sheep had previously been named the Doncaster and still showed evidence of a luxury liner. The sleeping accommodation was in what had been once a stateroom, with large floor space and gilded columns. Tiered bunks had been erected.
So how many men would be in this luxury stateroom?
Oh, I couldn't say. So it's quite a big... I mean, it would be a large stateroom and the bunks were all around the sides.
And what was the food like on the ship?
As far as I remember, it was all right. I can't remember that it was not.
Were you troubled with seasickness?
No.
Were there soldiers?
I don't think so. I don't remember it being an issue anyway.
Now, you're on the ship. You were going abroad to somewhere.
Yeah.
Had you ever been on a ship before, and had you ever been abroad before?
No, I hadn't. Yeah.
What about your fellow soldiers?
I don't know about them.
What was Pickle's morale like?
Quite good.
Because apparently the ship sailed on Christmas Day, according to the war diary.
Yes.
Did they make any special provision for Christmas in terms of rations?
I don't remember it. Yeah. We weren't. When they, I say they put tier bunks all around the sides, they had, but we were sleeping down below.
So what were you sleeping in?
In bunks, which weren't very comfortable, and lots of cockroaches too.
How did you cope with them?
Well, just left them alone.
What was the routine on the troop ship?
There was what's the name, drill?
Lifeboat drill.
Lifeboat drill, yes. That was about all, and most people playing housey-housey.
So how did you fill in your time?
I can't remember, really.
Now, you're with the Sherwood Foresters now.
Yes.
What did you feel about this unit compared to the Somerset Light Infantry? In what ways were they different, and what ways were they the same?
Well, there wasn't a lot of difference as far as I know, because one didn't do any marching on ship. But
what about the NCOs and the officers? Was there any difference in style between the two regiments?
Couldn't say, not to my knowledge.
So there wasn't any sense of one being stricter or...
No.
Than the other?
No, they all seemed quite pleasant.
Can you remember what company you were attached to, or you were sent to in the Sherwood Foresters? First at this period.
Yes. No, I can't really.
But it was one of the rifle companies.
Oh yes.
Now, are there any other memories of the ship? Any other incidents?
I remember going up on deck early one morning And we'd be just going through the Straits of Gibraltar and being impressed with the sight of the sun reflected on the rock, and looking to the east, the sky was alight with orange rays of light, and Tangiers was visible on the other side. I mentioned that in there too.
Now, you were on this ship, you didn't know where you were going. Where did people think you were going?
We didn't know, got no
still
idea.
Still didn't know?
No.
And when did you find out where you were going?
Well, we pulled in off Algiers and we were met with an armada of Arabs in their boats piled with oranges, which they proceeded to throw at us. Some of them were caught and the lot fell in the sea. They evidently got the idea that people on the ship hadn't seen an orange for a long time.
And had you?
No. Not in Britain.
And did they expect payment for these things? No. Or just gifts?
No.
Now, so you didn't actually know you were at Algiers until you arrived there?
No.
Now, had anybody aboard the ship, was there any kind of lectures or courses where they would prepare you for what was to come? You know, any kind of
there might have been, but I don't remember them. Rations were short, both equipment and food.
In what way?
Well, there wasn't any.
This was on the ship?
Yes. Well, and off the ship, too.
Now, apparently, just backtracking a little bit, the Sherwood Foresters were inspected by the King before they embarked on the troop ship.
Yes.
You don't have any memories of that?
No.
So you would have joined after that period, after that big inspection?
Probably, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the local Arabs coming out on boats.
Yes.
What about when you stepped off the ship? What was your impressions of Algiers then?
We didn't do very much. There was one of the first things seemed to be to make an officer's mess. And an exasperated sergeant major, I remember him very well, he asked for volunteers. Of course, everybody stepped forward. They started scratching away at the sand with their hands, and then somebody said they wanted a shovel, and of course there weren't any shovels, so he said, use your fork, spoon and fork, boy, man, if you can't. But I don't know if he meant that or not. I mentioned that in there too.
Did you make this officer's mess? Was it constructed?
Oh, I think it was done. Yes, yes. Just a matter of scratching out a path in the sand.
And where was this at? Do you think? Where
was this? That was at Algiers, just outside Algiers.
Now the war diary talks about a march from the troop ship to this first encampment. Now, were you able to go back into Algiers? Was anybody able to kind of go back on leave?
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about that?
Yes, well, we went on leave, looked around the shops. There's a photograph in that album taken in Algiers. Three of us. Yes, I got my wife a nice brooch there. Still got it. But I don't remember the marching, but then that's not surprising.
Now, apparently at this time, Algiers, there was lots of American servicemen.
They were along the coast a bit.
So you had no contact with the Americans at this point?
No.
What about the local French people? Was there any impressions of them?
No, nothing to recall.
So you were at this initial encampment. What were your quarters like? You've mentioned building the officers' mess.
Well, it was just bivouacs and a blanket on the sand, really.
What about the food?
Well, I think what there was all right, but as I say, it was short.
Were you issued with any extra equipment at this time?
I don't remember it.
And at this point, can you remember anything about your specific platoon? And, you know, what your job within the platoon was?
Not really, no.
I mean,
no.
Were you a rifleman or a...
Oh, a rifleman, yes.
So you had your own Lee Enfield?
Yes, oh yes.
Can you remember any names of the other men in your platoon at this period?
Yes, Sam Sansom, Sansom, Ashton, and there's none on your list, as you showed me, Skinner, and
can you remember your sergeants and corporals?
No.
So these are all private soldiers?
Yes, yes, yes.
And what about your platoon officer?
Well, there was one.
Yeah, you're just looking at your manuscript here again. Right, Mr. Kearns, we've just looked at your manuscript that you wrote several years ago, and you've mentioned the name of Captain Stansfield during the Sedgenane Battle.
Yes.
He was an officer that you obviously remembered from that period. Now you've listed several men's names. Do they have any kind of memories about their personalities or any kind of character traits that stick in your mind? Men in the platoon. Any amusing incidents or memories?
No, you mean at the time of
you've mentioned the
as far as we've got.
Yeah, you mentioned the men that you were with.
Yes.
I mean, how many of those men were with you in the Somerset Light Infantry?
Well, the ones I mentioned were in the Somersets, yes.
And they moved with you to the Foresters?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. They were mostly from Somerset and Devon.
What was their feelings about joining the Sherwoods?
I don't remember that they had any particular feelings.
Now, you're at this transit camp. You said the rations were short.
Yes.
What happened then?
Well, we were in training. We underwent training, partly to occupy our time, I suppose. And then we moved towards Sedgenane.
And how did you get there?
By transport. I remember sitting in the... truck.
So you moved to the front line?
Yes.
Where did you go to? Could you just describe what the situation was at the front
line? Well, that's where I'm a bit vague. I thought it was... I put Tamara down here, but I think it's Sedgenane.
Well, it's not that important. The place name's not that important. If we just describe your actual impressions of what this front line was and how it looked to you.
Well, I was. We were in the truck travelling along in the forest, and we came out, and we were under a hill. Um,